listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Living Happy Every Day with Dr. LaShonda Beckwith, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, 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 radio listeners. Welcome back to the show, Living Happy Every Day with Dr. LaShonda. I'm certainly excited to be with you again yet another Saturday, and I am so pleased that you would take time out of your busy Saturday, Black Friday, Saturday weekend, to be here with us today. It is a pleasure to always be able to feed and to share something positive, encouraging, and helpful into your lives that will help you to be successful in your endeavors. You know that I think the world of you, and my goal is to always, always, always see you live a happy and a fulfilled life every single day. Now, some will tell you that that's not possible, that you can't possibly live happy every day. And I say, hogwash. Happiness is not a destination. It is your way that you choose to live your life. Happiness is a state of mind, and it should be your goal to live a positive, happy life every single day. Don't let the naysayers and the pessimists and those ankle biters tell you or convince you otherwise, because I believe, and I believe if you get it down on the inside of you, that it's possible to live a happy life every day. You will realize that in your life too. Negativity draws negativity. Positivity draws positivity. So I'm trying to influence you when we do these shows year after year, is to seek positive experiences, seek positive relationships, and to, you know, get rid of those negative relationships that are harmful, that don't get you anywhere, that create a pessimistic attitude in life, that, you know, that victim attitude that I'll never be able to do any better. This is just my plot in life. This is what I'm supposed to have happen to me. And that's just not true. You can decide on what life will bring you. You can decide whether or not you're going to live in abundance. And that's not always financial abundance, but that's life in abundance. You can decide whether or not you're going to live like that, or if you're going to live a life where there's always blame and victimitis. So today is a day for you. Every single Saturday that we spend together, I hope that you carve it out and see it as a day for you. It's a time for you to focus on you. I want to talk to you about the value of you every time I bring this show to you, because you are valuable and you have what it takes to excel. Whether you believe it or not right now, week after week after week, the things you listen to, the things you feed into your mind, those things will help you to see the value of you. Now, I don't mean that everybody is going to be the president of the United States or a rocket scientist or some type of top movie star or at the top of a food chain in an organization. But you can be the best that you were called to be. You can be very successful with who you are if you want to be. I believe that there's a plan and a purpose for you. And I know you may think that's cliche and something that people are saying around you. That's the flavor of the month, the flavor of the year. But I really believe that. And for those that have been around me for some amount of time, you'll know I've been saying that for many, many, many years. So before I bring to the show today one of our special guests, it is time for us to do that weekly affirmation. You know what that's all about. It's that time of week where we have you say something that's positive about yourself and something that you may not hear about yourself all week long, but this is giving you an opportunity to be able to hear this right between those two ears of yours. Before long, I believe that you'll start to believe it. Now, you need to understand that it's not overnight that you get this into your spirit, particularly when you've been told all of your life that perhaps you wouldn't be anything, or that you couldn't possibly excel, or that you couldn't go to school and accomplish the things that you've always wanted to accomplish, or open that business that you've always wanted to do. I believe that once you start reading and applying things to your life, that you will see where those things will start to become an intricate part of who you are. But it takes dedication, it takes determination, and it takes drive in order for you to do these things. Do you have these? I believe that you do. So again, today is a show about you breaking through some of those old habits that keep you from being all that you can be. So here we go with that weekly affirmation. I hope you're standing in front of a mirror. If not, I will give you a few seconds to get to one every week. I have you do these for a specific reason. It's time for you to wake up and to really think about you. These weekly affirmations are designed so that you can have an inward focus just one day of the week so that you will learn how to affirm yourself every day of the week on your own. So, are you ready? Let's go. Say, I am special. I am unique, and I am fully capable of achieving those things that I was placed on this earth to accomplish. I know that I will face obstacles. I'm prepared to do so. I know that I will have my share of disappointments also. I can handle those too. I know that God has placed a special plan and purpose for my life, and I'm ready to fulfill it. I know that he has placed my dreams and my goals inside my heart, and he will ensure that I can accomplish those if I would only just step out and do something, take some type of action. You know, my dreams are mine. They're not anyone else's, and no one will feel about them as I feel. I have a passion inside of me to be successful, and I know that I will have to apply these three D's in order to do so: dedication, determination, and drive. Those have to be applied to my life to achieve my goals, and I am willing. So, I am special, I am unique, and I am fully capable of achieving my hopes, my dreams, and my goals. Yay! Uh-oh, who's that person looking back at you in the mirror? Is it someone you didn't recognize 3 months ago, 6 months ago, a year? Well, I believe that that person is you and that you are changing. You are a different person today than you were a year ago. So good for you. I want you to pat yourself on the back. Just go ahead on and do that. There's nothing wrong with patting yourself on the back. So everybody, it's a real pleasure for me to welcome to the show today a very special guest by the name of Maria Wall. And Maria is she's the founder of the Wall Foundation Incorporation. And she also has a radio talk show, and the show is called Healing Through Hurt. And real people, real stories, real hurt, and real healing is the crust of what she talks about. So she speaks about healing through hurt, and through her show, she welcomes guests to tell their stories too. Her emphasis is on developing self-esteem and finding the healing that one needs. She attracts listeners worldwide, as we do on this show, and she encourages them to interact, and she's rapidly building her fan base for those who turn on their radio to listen to her soft voice and the understanding nature that she demonstrates. She shares her own story of abuse. She knows and she shows the route to healing. So, as I mentioned, she's a founding president of the nonprofit organization, the Wall Foundation, and she is the author of a book called Silent Noise, Healing Poetry of Life. And she's developed many, many programs for youths that are at risk and families and seniors. So let me welcome to the show today, and she can tell you a little bit more about herself, Maria Wall. Welcome to the show, Maria. How are you today?
I'm fine. Thank you so much for having me here today.
I'm so glad that you're able to be on the show today. We've been waiting to hear what you would have for the listeners, for Living Happy Every Day with Dr. LaShonda. We've been waiting to hear what it was that you would share on the show today. But before we ask those questions, can you elaborate a little bit more about your background so the listeners can get a feel for you?
Well, let's move back before the Wall Foundation, Inc. I used to be the owner and president of a media production company. And in doing so, I saw a need for young people to have something more to do with their time. And I developed a program where young people would be able to learn the ins and outs of the entertainment world and the background of media and production. And in order for me to reach the audience that I was looking for, which are these children that are out here that really have no direction, I had partnered with a very large nonprofit in Baltimore City in Maryland that dealt with foster children. And the program, at the end of the program, the children had the chance to stand in front of all of the visitors and tell their story and then show what their film that they created was about. Mm-hmm. But because, you know, I felt empty and I had I was still missing something. And I knew that it was so much red tape involved with dealing with the foster children and that particular program. I knew then that I wanted to leave my media production company, and I dissolved that, and then I founded the Wall Foundation Incorporated, which, as you said, is a 501c3 nonprofit. And I developed new programs for at-risk youth and their families, but with the emphasis on the youth. But when I saw that society was changing, you know, we're going through this financial crisis and things are just going in a bad direction for so many people, I knew that I had to broaden my horizons to help heal the parents in these children's lives or their caretakers. And then, of course, in my life, as you said, moving even more forward, I just happened to have gotten married to the wrong individual, and then my world fell apart. So again, that gave me more drive to develop the Healing Through Hurt talk show and to move forward with my programs. But now, you know, I'm moving forward not as just someone who was here doing this from the outside looking in. I'm someone who's going through the storm even as we speak. So I'm right here with the people who I'm now helping.
Mm-hmm. So let's go to a Wall Foundation, Inc. So mm-hmm. Was it these children that you were dealing with that helped you desire to move towards Wall Foundation, or was it more about what went on in your personal life that caused you to want to move towards creating the Wall Foundation?
It was the children. The children was first and foremost, and mm-hmm. somewhere along the line of the development of the foundation, my world also fell apart about a year after I got married. And okay. I'm sure you know how it is when you're developing a nonprofit. That takes a lot of work. It's a lot mm-hmm. of paperwork. It's a lot of, you know, you have to do your homework for that. So it took me about a year and a half to get everything together for that. But, you know, a lot of prayer and dedication, as you said, and determination. I was approved for my nonprofit status on the first go-around. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just so happens that everything just fell into place. And it came together in divine timing, I like to call it, because, you know, had none of that happened the way that it did, we probably wouldn't be talking here today. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it all worked out for me, but yeah, it started with the youth, and then I expanded it to their homes and their caretakers and their parents, and then it just so happens that I went through my personal ordeals that I'm still going through, actually, and here we are today, and it's just moving forward.
Okay. Now, the Wall Foundation, they really are about helping not just at-risk youth, but also seniors and anybody else that's mm-hmm. trying to heal from some type of hurt. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. We've had programs where I've taught several computer programs to empower seniors and young people, and I try to incorporate young people and seniors into all of my programs together because each one can learn from the other. So it opens up the lines of communication, number one. It teaches respect, and it just broadens that horizon so the young people get to understand the paths that the older participants have gone through. And then the older participants, they get to learn something about the mindset of the young people that are coming up, you know, long after, you know, coming down that road that they have come down. So it's always about interacting with other people and encouraging and uplifting each other so that we can learn from something. Because I think I'll never cease to learn until, you know, my time is up. And if I found a way to do it even after that, I would. But, you know, it's about interacting and encouraging one another and empowering each other through several different programs that the foundation has in place.
Okay. So I want to make a distinction. There's a foundation, and then there's a healing through hurt piece, and that's your radio talk show. And so when we're talking about the healing through hurt piece, what is the story behind the healing through hurt piece?
Healing through hurt. When I started the nonprofit, I always had this this urge. I left television to go. I wanted to be in radio, so I had the show just sitting for about a year, and then when my world fell apart again, I noticed that there was a rise. You know, there was a lot of abuse in the family of the people that I was helping, these children, and I wanted to get a larger reach to the world because I'd love to get far and wide. So I said, wait, I have this radio show that I've had sitting for a year, and it just so happens that healing through hurt. I was going through it, and I saw all of these people who I, you know, I interacted with on a daily basis. They were going through it, and it was a way for me to give them a venue where they could hear and get the guidance that they needed without leaving their homes in some cases, because some of them didn't have the money for transportation to get to the community centers where the programs were and things like that. So it was a way for me to help them to reach further and wider, because they could call in from their phones and listen, of course, and they can hear it through the computer. And then I began to touch people all over the country and then, of course, all over the world. And that was the premise of it, was to be able to introduce the listeners to people, to let them know that they're not alone, that there are other people going through like situations, and they can hear how they have survived and how they move forward and how, you know, they're healing. And it was just a way for me to expand on the healing and just send it throughout the world and reach so many more people, to let them know that they're not alone and there are people here that are willing to help them, and we're waiting to help them. All they have to do is reach out.
And so how would your group help people that are going through this hurt process? What my show will do, we provide strategies that folks can use to help them be able to live better, healthier, happier lives. So here we are, and people call me all the time, or they write all the time, and they're saying, you know, Dr. LaSharnda, this is something that I took away from that show, and I didn't realize that I was maybe adding to a situation, or I was being the victim, or I wasn't, I didn't see myself as being strong enough to break through a situation. So how will your healing through hurt program be able to help facilitate that process for people that are listening today?
What we do on Healing Through Hurt is, well, the show is actually twofold. There's the Healing Through Hurt show that airs on Saturday evenings, and then there's the Sunday morning meditation, which, you know, I thought it was interesting that you brought up your affirmation with the mirror, because I do the same thing, but mine is called My Mirror and Me. And I say, go to the first mirror you see and tell the person you see, hello, beautiful me. And I listen to their stories. And we sit down, and the listeners, then they call in. You know, they don't have to give their names if they don't want to. And we find out. I give them that anonymity because I found that a lot of people will open up more then. And we also offer them 24/7 access where they can call or send a message. And I will probably be the one, especially late night, that will get up and be there to talk to them and to guide them through it and to find out where they are and what they need, what type of resources they have. First, I need to know what state they're in. Mm-hmm. And because my background, my formal background is in legal training, mm-hmm. so I need to know what state they're in so I can guide them to the resources for their state. So we educate them mm-hmm. on what they need depending on what their situation is. If it's domestic violence and abuse, you know that there's a step that you have to follow, certain things that you have to have in place mm-hmm. to make sure that you stay as safe as possible. So there, and if it's a self-esteem issue, you know, we have programs where, you know, the buddy system where you tell people, you get them involved with someone who's been there that can help them walk through whatever they're going through. Because some, like younger people, sometimes they're not as apt to open up to an older person as they are someone that's in their peer group. Mm-hmm. So we try to match people up who need to be in their age group so that they can open up more. And, of course, we have the programs where the writing program and self-expression, because, you know, we, a lot of times nowadays, people like to keep things to their self. They keep the secrets inside, and the secrets and everything that we're holding in, it's what's eating us up inside. Mm-hmm. So we try to help them to open up. We want them to open up, because until we find out what you need and where you are in the process, you know, it's hard to really give someone the proper guidance. But we do. We try to get them to open up, and then we develop programs to help them move forward and to guide them in the right direction and give them every single resource possible that we can find to help them move forward mm-hmm. in a positive way. And a lot of times we have guests who some guests have cancer, and they show how to be positive when you have cancer. You know, what do you do to make it? I can't tell anyone that, you know, I only know it from the outside because I have not, you know, thank the Lord, experienced cancer. But, you know, domestic violence, abuse, things like that, when you have someone there who, you know, has walked a mile in that shoe and longer, you know, you're more apt to listen, and maybe they can help you along that journey. Now, not everyone is, you know, there are some people who, no matter what you say to them, they come up with an excuse why it won't work. So we try to stay there for that person, and we're there in their corner to let them know that they're not alone. And we try to be there for them when they're ready to take that leap of faith.
Well, let me ask you this. Are you still going through a healing process?
I am. My divorce was 12/21 of 2010 from a very narcissistic sociopath of a husband. I actually had a year-long protection order against him. He raped me. He dehumanized me. He had multiple affairs. As a matter of fact, he's now living with the neighbor that he had an affair with. She lives in her parents' house right in my backyard. Again, you know, and most people, when I tell them that, they're like, oh my God, you know, this person is still there. And add the fact that, you know, he threatened me. It was just a lot to it. And to have him that close even now, and it's 2012, but I decided for me that I'm not going to be victimized by this man. You know, I spent my whole life learning and developing and growing and going to school and, you know, founding my companies. And, you know, on most part, I was pretty successful. And in a short amount of time, I married the wrong person, and he destroyed everything. Mm-hmm. He tore up our home. You know, when I went to the courts, they said, what's the marital domicile? He can tear it down if he wants to, even though it was my home before we got married. It's the marital domicile, so he tore that up. You know, just the threats and at the end, I wasn't even a human to him. He called me all types of names. He said that I should be killed like the gorillas of the Congo.
Oh, gosh.
You know, he would leave me phone messages. When he left my house in June of 2010, And I was divorced from him in December of 2010, December 21st to be exact. So that was like a wonderful holiday gift to me. Mm-hmm. But again, that started the healing process. And even then, I got the year-long protection order, which, you know, in the state of Maryland, you can get them for a couple of days, for a month, 30 days, 60 days. But I got the full amount that you can get at one time in the state of Maryland, which was 1 year. Mm-hmm. And when I had gone for my divorce, he was found guilty on all counts, cruel and inhuman punishment, adultery, constructive desertion. I'm still, every day, I'm living it. And, you know, I don't know when he may snap, because if you know, I'm sure you know about a narcissistic sociopath, they can put on that front for a long time. And the worst part is that in the end, before we got our divorce and he left this house, I said, why did you even marry me? And his thing was, I thought I could do it and you were real. But he said, there's so many women out here, and this is very important. This is one of the things that I talked to my women's group about, is the fact that he said that there's so many fake women out there that it was easier for him to go out there and con them and get them to take care of him, because when he came home to our home, the reality set in for him, and it reminded him of his shortcomings and his inadequacies, and he couldn't deal with that. And mm-hmm. the neighbor was right there, and, you know, he looks for people who he knows that they're desperate, they're insecure, they have no self-esteem, you know, they're very insecure about who they are, and he usually targets older women. And mm-hmm. by profession, he's a contractor, and mm-hmm. I helped build his company. So he's right there with women, and he can pretty much con anyone with the smooth talk and the smooth words. So, you know, yeah, I'm still here, very much in the thick of things.
And so go ahead, please.
No, you know, I just watch myself. I have cameras on my house, you know. I keep weapons hidden all over the house just in case. And it's just a part of how I have to live, because in this economy, I am not able. He left me penniless. He tore down the house. I had to pay money to fix that up, and I lost my employment. I lost everything dealing with this man who would call me at work, you know, threatening me, and I just lost everything. So when I was divorced in 2010, I think I had 2 cents to my name.
Wow.
And right now, I'm in the process of rebuilding myself, and you know, the person who I used to be is gone, and now I'm emerging as someone new. So, you know, I'm right there with my listeners. When I say healing through hurt, I have a face to that hurt, you know. And you spoke about my book, Silent Noise. That was the first book, and the new book, Silent Noise, Lip Service, is coming out, because I promised myself that I would write a book to move forward and share some of the put poetic, you know, some of the hurt that people have shared with me and my hurts in a form of poetry, so that it's adding that sense of beauty, because to me, everything that I've gone through, I have to take the positive out of that, but not taking away from the fact that certain things happen, but it's my way of moving through my process while helping other people, showing them how they can figure out what they really like to do and express their feelings. Don't hold it in. Do something within, you know, the law, but get it out of your system so that we can learn and start to move forward. So that's where I am right now.
You know, one of the things I was going to say is that certainly based on what you've just described is just horrendous. But also, though, when we go through some things like that, it gives you the avenue to be able to share stories and experiences with the people that you're ministering to. And so it just seems like this is an opportunity for you to be able to, even though it was horrible what happened, but it seems like it gives you the credibility to be able to help to minister to women that may be going through stuff like that. Because I've heard people say too, how can your husband rape you? Oh, give me a break. Or people say things like, isn't marriage supposed to be, you know, forever between a husband and a wife? And what would you say to women that are saying that right now?
first and foremost, on the rape issue, no means no. And the very first time that my husband raped me, he had come into my room. I have a spine injury, and I had been in the hospital. And I was very drugged. And I woke up the next morning, and there was a cold cloth, a wet cloth in my right hand. I'll never forget it. And he was standing over me, and I said, okay, what are you doing in here, and what is this? And he said, you know what, we had sex last night, and now you can't go to the judge and tell him that we didn't have sex, so we can't get a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, so you're telling me that I was drugged and you raped me? He said, you're my property. I can do whatever I want to you. So,
wow.
If anybody thinks that that's right, then you're telling me that it's okay that you want to be someone's property. If that's someone's right to feel that way, that's fine. But that was the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, when you talk about marriage is supposed to be forever, the person who I fell in love with and I would be in love with to this day did not exist.
Mm-hmm.
That was a facade that was being housed in a pretty wrapper.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, once the truth came out, I can't continue into something that never existed. It would be like I would still be married to a ghost who was dehumanizing me and raping me at will, and then going to sleep with someone right in my backyard. You know, it just doesn't work for me. Mm-hmm. I loved me more. I had more love for myself. And although he left me penniless, with nothing, and I stood to lose my home and everything that I had worked my entire life for, that was not enough for me to stay mm-hmm. with this hurtful individual. So I loved me enough, and I think that I try to get women to understand that we don't have to put up with what I like to call the cream of the crap.
Yeah.
We deserve better. We deserve better. So we need to learn how to love us. Love ourselves enough to know that it's okay. We may be battered, we may be worn, but you know what? We will be alive, and that means that we're alive so we have the chance to rebuild and become who we know that we should have been all along. And
yeah.
We were not put here to be anyone's footstool, anyone's footstool.
Because
so,
I've certainly met women who they can't see that they deserve better for some reason. They have this idea that whatever happened to them was their own fault, that they should have seen
right.
something in the other person that indicated that this person was narcissistic. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of people feel that, you know, they'll ask, how could you not see that? You were with them only a year, right? You were only with your husband for 1 year?
When, you mean the marriage?
Uh-huh.
We were married for two.
Okay, you were married for 2 years.
We were married for mm-hmm. We were married for two. We got married in 2008.
Oh, okay.
And we divorced in December of 2010. But let me tell you all this. You know, I'm one of those types that does background checks and all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whenever I do my speaking engagements, I bring the paperwork. Ladies, let me tell you something. I did the background check. And they kept sending me, what are the chances of having two men with the same first, middle, and last name,
mm-hmm.
born in the same month, their
mm-hmm.
birthday was a few days apart, 1 year apart, living in the same neighborhood? Well,
mm-hmm.
they kept sending me this other gentleman's police report.
Okay.
And I said, you know, this. What are the chances of this wonderful man that I'm about to marry and being like this crazy psycho here? Well, unfortunately for me, it turned out that my chances were even better than 100%.
Wow.
Because when I got the real police report, we had been married for about a week. And right then and there, I just knew that, oh, my God. And he was still putting on the front then, but
uh-huh.
things started to change. He, like I said, he was a contractor, and he was doing work in my neighbor who, we've been neighbors for over 20 years.
Uh-huh.
He was doing work in the house.
You and this guy, you and your ex-husband.
No, the neighbor
oh,
and
okay.
I. My husband and I, we were friends about a year or so before we decided to get married. And when I met him, I was actually his business coach because I was helping him build his company.
Yeah, okay.
And he just, he has a beautiful mind, college educated, but it turns out he's just an educated bum. And once the truth started coming out, this man has been very irresponsible his entire life, it seems like, you know, not paying off his student loans, wanting to get on my bank account. You know, when the red flag started coming, I refused to put him on my bank accounts and his name on my house and things like that, because I knew where he was going with this. Mm-hmm. And he was under the impression, okay, when it hits the fan, I'll be able to take help. Well, no, I didn't put him on anything. And then when he was working at the neighbor's house, him and the daughter would disappear for hours at a time. And they say, well, we couldn't find, you know, the screw or the nuts or whatever they were looking for. I'm like, oh, you found them all right. Mm-hmm. You know, but it was just one of those, or it is rather, one of those things where nothing's really changed for me except for the fact that I'm no longer his wife.
Right.
But the scenario is still very much there, and he has family members who like to call me from time to time and say, you know, so what are you doing? You know, he misses you, and I don't let them know. If I pick up the phone, which I stop picking up the phone, and I certainly don't answer their letters when they mail me cards and things, but I don't even let them know that I'm aware that he's right in my backyard.
Well, my question to you is that do you find it in your counseling sessions that you deal with, because I'm telling you, I counsel a lot of people and coach folks mm-hmm. too, that people tend to see the real person somehow and they dismiss it, or they somehow make up a reason why that's not the person? Because you said that you know, what were the chances of, you did the background checks and all this stuff, and you were saying, what are mm-hmm. the chances that there could be the same person,
right.
at, you know, just like this other psycho that's,
right.
you know, in the same neighborhood.
Exactly.
So my question to you mm-hmm. is that do you find that women tend to probably see hints of the true person, but tend to give reasons why that couldn't be that person?
Yeah, I do actually, but mm-hmm. with my situation, he was fine. He
right.
was perfect. This was before we got married, and this was a different person. This
okay.
person does exist. This
oh,
is two
okay.
totally different people. Yeah, this is, they are two totally different people. And
wow.
same first, middle, and last name in the same neighborhoods, two totally different men. That is why
wow.
I bring the paperwork. I'm like, do you all see this? Remember I said they were born in the same month. Their day was like 4 days apart, and they are a year apart.
Wow.
But same exact, same name, same criminal background. It's amazing. It is absolutely, and it's not like, you know, that's why when I said, what are the chances of this great guy that I have being like this psycho person? Yeah, they're two totally different people with identical, almost identical criminal backgrounds.
Wow.
Two totally different people.
Wow, that is very interesting. I can tell you this, though, as I talk to women a lot, and I talk to men, too,
mm-hmm.
I can tell you that I've always told folks, especially baby boomers, they tend to have an issue with asking for credit reports, and they have
mm-hmm.
issues with asking for background checks on potential lovers or potential spouses.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have to say about that?
Yeah. Oh, that's my new thing now. People, go get it once.
That's
try
right.
Try several different places. Several
right.
different places. Not only that, make sure that you show they have a valid driver's license. Turns out this fool didn't even have a driver's license.
Wow.
But, you know, it's like, really, you don't even have a real driver's license, because when he was trying to do his bank accounts and get insurance and things, you know, there were things that he needed. And I said, well, they need your driver's license, because I was helping him set up his business. So I'm like, what is this? This is an ID card. Oh, well, you know, I don't know where my license is. And I'm like, wait, you can't have them both. He says, well, I'll take care of that. And I'm like, well, okay. But then, you know, he was driving his own vehicle, which turns out to be his sister's vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, really? This isn't even your car? So check everything.
Mm-hmm.
Check everything. And check it again and double check it. You know, the reason why it was coming down to our our time for our wedding. And, you know, the wedding was very nice, and we had invested a lot of money into it. And it was either, oh, I'll just cut it off and wait to, and this is one of the things that I wish I had cut it off and just lost the money, for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at some point I had to stop blaming myself for that and just, you know, say it happened, it is, forgive myself. But another thing that I had to do was learn how to forgive him and the neighbor and everyone else, because that was only eating me up inside.
Yeah,
because he's still
right.
pulling his con, and she's still being, you know, what she is, and it's only eating me up inside. And, you know, those are the things that I talk about, or the poetic pieces that I've, you know, made in the book. You know, there's a piece about forgiveness, and like you said, it's one called My Mirror and Me. You know, things like that. We have to talk to ourselves. And I go to the mirror and I talk to myself, especially on those days when I'm not feeling so okay.
Yeah.
You know, and we just have to do that. And that's one of the things that I loved about, I was so excited about being on your show, because I had gone and listened to quite a few, and I said, you know, we're like, we should be sisters or something, because we're mm-hmm. thinking in that same realm. Mm-hmm. And this is where I am, and with the meditation, and we need to keep saying this to ourselves of how wonderful we are and how
yeah.
beautiful we are and how we are important. We are somebody. And I do a piece in my book called Diva, D-I-B-A, but mm-hmm. it's an acronym. It stands for Diamonds in Various Assortments. Mm-hmm. A diamond is still a diamond. If it's perfect, if it's flawless, if it's a canary, if it's a pink, if it's the Hope diamond that's really a sapphire, it's still a diamond because it has mm-hmm. the density.
Mm-hmm.
A diamond is still a diamond. And we need to understand that. So that's what I do. That's my passion, is to get more women to realize, you know, it's okay to be alone. It's okay to come home to an empty house, find a hobby or something. Stop
yeah.
allowing the cream of the crap to come in and invade your world and destroy it, because they're going to move on to the next person.
You know, Maria, what, now we've talked a little bit about your new book, and the new book is Silent Noise Lip Service. Tell us a little
mm-hmm.
bit, because we only have a few more minutes left, but can you talk a little bit about what that book will include? Is this going to extend the old one about poetry? Tell us a little bit about your new book.
It is. It's still a continuation of poetry, because, you know, the last book was received very well, and people tend to like it because it's small enough for you to keep it with you mm-hmm. in your purse. And there's something for everyone in the book. You know, every year I talk to people all over the world, and it's
mm-hmm.
part of my life, but it's part of the story of so many other people, because I've discovered that a lot of times we share like stories. Our experiences
yeah, that's
are true. Very similar. In a way. And each piece is something. There's a piece called Runaway Child. You know, that talks about the parents who have the children who think that they're grown and they want to be violent in the house. And the next thing you know, they're gone and you're outside of the malls handing out flyers saying, have you seen my
yeah.
child?
Yeah.
And then, you know, a sister piece is called Home, where they've been out on the street and they know what it's like when they're out on the street. And, you know, the book, it just keeps it as it is, you know. It's some pieces are very explicit because that's the life that some people have had to endure.
Mm-hmm.
And there are pieces in there that are positive. There's the piece that I said called Forgiveness. And it's about, you know, it starts off very mean and angry. And there's another piece in there that, but in the forgiveness piece in the end, it just comes down. And you have to understand that art of forgiving and letting go. And a lot of people, they were building up that anger as they were reading. And at the end, they were like, oh my gosh, I felt that sense of calm. And that's what I'm trying to do with the book, is to get people to identify with it in their way, how it pertains to their life or their experiences or the experience of someone that they know. And the book is still in poetic form, but it tells such a major, major story that, you know, the people that have read it are really identifying with some pieces, and they have their pick favorites, and some cry because some of the pieces are really hitting home for them
mm-hmm.
for their own personal reasons. So,
well, you talked a little bit about forgiveness a few minutes ago. So have you forgiven
mm-hmm.
this husband of yours?
I have. I had to forgive him because, as I said, to carry the rage and to think, you know, he deserves to be back in jail and he needs to do this, you know, I believe in divine timing and karma. Mm-hmm. And eventually he's going to get his. And one of the things that I didn't share with you is that he still uses my address for everything. So I know the dirt he's doing. You know, a lot of people, let's just say that a lot of people are looking for him right now. And mm-hmm. now that I know where he's living, you know, I can just send him to where he lives. Mm-hmm. And it'll be out of my hands. But, you know, he has not broken all the ties that he has to me because it's still a thing of control. And to him, he lost this game that he was playing, and until he destroys me, he's going to continue to do what he's doing. So eventually I will move, and he won't know where I am. But, you know, yes, I had to forgive him because I know that there's definitely something going on there, and I didn't create it, and I'm not going to take claim for it.
Right.
So I had to forgive myself for just not calling off
right.
the wedding and just losing the money. I had to forgive me, but
yeah.
I had to forgive him just as I forgave the neighbor, you know, and her parents for welcoming him in, knowing, having full knowledge of what he did to me.
Yes.
But they have a live-in handyman for free. So, you know, they get all their household work done for free. So they don't care about me.
Well,
you know, and that's
you have people that care about you regardless of what's going on with them. You have your following, you have your fan base that care about you. You have people
yes.
that really believe in what you're doing and how you're able, just sharing the story that you did a few minutes ago or through this last 45 minutes, it certainly has done a lot to help people to kind of work through some of the issues that they have. And so I'm happy to hear that you have forgiven your husband for his actions, because I believe in karma too. I believe in what you reap is what you sow. What you do comes back
that's
around.
Right.
And so that's why I believe that, you know, positivity attracts and negativity detracts. So negativity would be you carrying around unforgiveness in your
exactly.
heart. And, you know, that's just something that you don't need to have holding on to you, I don't think. So we're getting down. I have one more question that I want to ask you, Maria. I hear you say something about you remind, you know, you always remind other people to smile. Do you live by that rule
mm-hmm.
yourself?
I certainly do. I guess in my voice you could probably hear that I'm smiling right now. Even on my worst day, and like I said, I have a spine injury and I'm in pain a lot of days, and then my childhood asthma reactivated. Some days I can't breathe and I'm hurting. But you know what? I was out one day at one of the units that I work in that I'm assigned to, and a perfect stranger had walked up to me and he said, "Where's that beautiful smile of yours?"
Mm-hmm.
And when he did that, it was like, I don't even know who you are, but, you know, well, okay. And I
yeah.
learned that at the end of the day, if I smile through it and try to laugh through it, at the end of the day, I feel so much better. And
yeah.
for all of you ladies with the self-esteem issues, you know that it takes more effort and it pulls down
yes.
your face when you frown. So a smile does your heart, mind, body, spirit, and soul a lot of good. So even on my worst day, and like I said, I'm still taking baby steps, crawling out of the hole that I've been put in. But guess what? I'm still rising. So I'm okay. And I'm alive, and I have my house. You know, I have my house. I have my vehicle. You know, I'm broke. I'm still happy.
But not for long, though. Not for long. Maria, not for long. You have been a blessing to be on the show today. And I know that I've learned a lot from you, and I know that the listeners have, too. So thank you so much. Keep smiling, Maria. And thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Being on the show today. God bless you. And
just
walk in grace.
Well, you Radio, too. Thank you so much for having me.
You're quite welcome. Radio listeners, we've come down to the end of our show. I'm so happy to have shared Maria with you all today. I certainly learned a lot from her. I think she was enthusiastic. She was very transparent, and that's what you need from people. People that are leading other people and speaking into the lives of others, they have to be people that are transparent, and they're willing to share the things that they've gone through, and that's certainly something that she has done, and she's done it well. I just love her enthusiasm, and I could hear her smiling as she talked through some real painful situations. I know sometimes we sit back and say, oh, I'll never go through that, or that'll never happen to me. Please, please, please never talk about what it is that you don't know anything about. You just never know where you may end up. So we've come to the end of another show, listeners, and thank you for joining me today. I just want you to remember that your life is made up of so much more than just the physical. You have to take time to address everything that affects you, mind, body, spirit, and soul, those emotions, that mental capacity. You know, take time to exercise and to have some time of self-reflection and time to pray and meditate and those types of things. Look, I want you to go to my website, www.beckwithleadership.com, to see what it is that I have to offer you. I'm getting a lot of personal coaching requests these days, and I want you to see if there's some type of personal coaching we can do for you. My book is still available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, When You're Happy With You. This is a book that is an easy read, is sure to be impactful, and it'll help you see that it's not impossible for you to face your issues and to live a life that you can be happy with. Maria just showed you that. You can pick up your life from where you left off. So, again, visit my website, www.beckwithleadership.com. Send me your comments, your feedback. I want to hear from you. I hope that you have a wonderful weekend. I hope that you had a wonderful Thanksgiving week, and I hope that your week ahead is just terrific. Keep telling yourself how great you are, because I think you're great. God bless you, and remember this. I believe that you deserve to live happy every day.
You're listening to Living Happy Every Day with Dr. LaShonda Beckwith, right here on LA Talk Radio.